day to come to church. Not just because I'm here, but because I had knee replacement surgery 2 months ago. And if I stand for too long, it starts to swell. So I'll just say, this morning we are here for a good time, but not a long time. You can read in the bulletin that I recently retired from active ministry in the church as dean of the cathedral. You know, I stopped and at one point in wonder, I was like, gosh, you know, I've been ordained over 30 years, and over half of that has been right here at the cathedral. And circumstances in life were such, and so I decided to retire. it gets bad, I'll step in there. So, as I was preparing for retirement, some people were asking me questions about my career in the church, and one question that really struck me is, what has meant the most to me as a priest in the church? And I gave it a lot of thought, prayerful thought. And I wanted to tell these people, the congregation that meant so much to me, still it means a great deal to me, just as you do, to tell you what it is that has meant the most to me over these years as a priest. And it's this. In just a moment, I'll go to the altar and preside at the table for Holy Communion, right? And the first words that come out of my mouth, and your response is called the sursum corda, right? Sursum corda, that's a Latin phrase for literally lift heart. Lift heart. So the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
It's right to give thanks and praise.
Right one, right two, good. lifting up our hearts. Lifting up our hearts. So in the ancient world, right, the heart is the center of life. It's where all things reside within our lives. The really joyful parts of our lives and the really painfully sorrowful parts of our lives. So at this altar of sacrifice, we lift that up. We lift up our lives. All the joys, all the sorrows. And really one of the things that I find very comforting is that we do it together. Because I'll tell you what, man, sometimes the sorrow and the challenges of life prevent you from lifting it up on your own, right? You don't have to know what it is. We just have to bind ourselves together in here and do it together. And so not here with an east-facing altar, but the cathedral in the chapel, we have an east-facing altar. In the cathedral, the great cathedral, I'll look at you when I say those words. And I look at you and I know something about your lives. And that's such a privilege for people to let a priest into their life, to know all of those parts of life, that in that moment of sursum corda we lift up together. And so that really has meant the most to me throughout my ministry. And you know, speaking of the joys and sorrows, Will Willimon once preached, he said, you know, as long as I've ministered and pastored, no one has ever, ever, ever called me over to the house to pray with them. When mother and father just got great raises and promotions, both kids got into Princeton, no one has ever called me over to their house to say, let's pray. Come pray with us a prayer of thanksgiving. First time one of those sorrowful challenges happens, right? He said, I'm the first one to be called. That's privilege. And that you people let priests and ministers into your life like that, that's a privilege to us. And so it's those sorrows, right? The joys, they're just not challenging. It's those sorrows. In today's lessons, and particularly in Romans and in the Gospel, Paul and Jesus are calling us to a certain kind of life, right? And on its own, just listening as it once passes the ear, it really doesn't sound all that appealing, right? I don't know about you, but I don't care to feed my enemies. But we're supposed to. And I don't want to go out and find on a daily basis a cross to pick up and carry around with. But we're supposed to. Maybe not go out and find one. I think what Jesus is saying is to recognize you're going to get one, whether you like it or not. It's going to come your way. And so if we live according to these words, when those things do come our way, we're better prepared. Because living a humble Christian life, I've come to believe, truly, that the one great gift of being a Christian is that we come to understand and live a life of hope. In one word, the greatest gift I think we get as Christians is hope. Great story of the big school system, right? And the school system was going to try having some teachers that would go to hospitals when kids were hospitalized so that they wouldn't miss too much of their schoolwork. And so this one particular teacher, the protocol is you call the classroom teacher, ask what it is we're supposed to be doing with this child when we get there, and then go do it. She calls the classroom teacher. The hospital teacher is told we're doing adjectives and adverbs. Please make sure he stays up with his adjectives and adverbs so he doesn't fall short when he comes back. She was not told what the condition of the boy was, why he's in the hospital. She walks in the room, and there he is, badly burned. And she's shocked, and she doesn't know exactly what to do. And he's not moving, he's only blinking his eyes. And so she sits down next to him and begins an exercise in adjectives and adverbs. Does the homework, the schoolwork, leaves the room, shaken. A couple days later, she's back there. And one of the nurses taps her on the shoulder and says, what did you do with that little boy? His outlook, everything has changed with him. She said, well, I just did adjectives and adverbs, and I don't think that would make anybody feel so. Months later, the little boy, as he continues to heal and get well, one of the nurses said, what is it that happened in the room that day with that teacher? All of a sudden, you know, we're doing adjectives and adverbs, and all of a sudden, you get better. You started working hard. You wanted to get well. The little boy said, nobody sends somebody to work with on adjectives and adverbs if they're going to die. So, in a word, the boy regained his hope. Found hope again. So live according to these words, right? No matter how difficult the word of God may seem as it lands on us, live accordingly. Because when the challenges come, and they will, even though I know you've had some, more to come, you be hopeful. You'll have embedded deep within the marrow of your bones hope. And though some days it may not feel like it in those initial days, you'll get up and take another step, and hope will lead you. So I wear this bracelet on my wrist, and I got it last Christmas. Last year, we had a son that died at 27. And his girlfriend, they lived in Denver, his girlfriend, a devout Greek Orthodox, which was really good for him. After he died, she and her mother went to Greece. And they visited a monastery. And these monks make these bracelets. Now, I'm not much of one to wear a bracelet. In fact, this is the first one I've ever worn in my entire life. And they brought them back, and we spent some time together at Christmas. And his girlfriend gave us, our family, Christina has one too, gave us these bracelets. And they're just nicely knotted. There's a little cross here and a few nice, really kind of clear beads. The monks that make these tell the story that wear it, right? Wear it. Wear it until it falls off. Because when it falls off, it means something really good's about to happen. I have no idea if that's true. No idea. But I sure hope so.